Amen. Galatians chapter. Let's look at chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Y'all have to excuse me. I don't know what's going on with my voice. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 22. When you find it, say amen. If you still looking, say, wait a minute. All right, you are a candidate for Bible study on Wednesday night. If you're still looking. Amen. Little Leroy, you're going to be quiet now. Amen. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 reads as follows. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is that what your Bible says? Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23 says, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Man, let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And amen, this great opportunity that you've given us to come together this morning as believers. Father God, we pray that something will be said today that would help someone in their life. Father God, we pray that it would be presented in a fashion that those who hear will be able to share it with their friends and with their family. Father God, we thank you for the forgiveness of sin that was taken care of at Calvary's cross. We thank you for healing today, Father God, which Jesus has already taken care of at the cross. We thank you, Father, for your system of salvation that you placed upon us, that Jesus Christ hung, bled, and died for the remission of our sins. His blood covers a multitude of sin, whether they be present, past, or future. We thank you, Father God. Lord, we thank you again for this day and this great opportunity you've given us to come together. Lord, we pray blessings upon each and every life that is represented here today. And Father God, if there be one today who has not accepted you, has not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Father God, we pray that the Spirit would touch them today. That they will give their life to you. That they will be a part of the promise. Father God, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I do pray. Amen. And thank God. Amen. Amen. Sister Mila, we not. I guess they're set up in the back for the meal, right? No children's church today. We can. Yeah, we can do that. Amen. Okay. We'll. Just whenever you feel it's appropriate. But I won't be before you long. Amen. My brothers and sisters, the Lord gave me this particular passage of scripture very late. Amen. So late, I was like, Lord, are you going to give me something to say today or not? And he did. So I want to talk about, amen, self-control. Somebody said, ooh, I want to talk about self-control. Amen. You know, we all want to be in control. Some wives want to be in control of their husbands. Amen. Come on, Johnny. Johnny the only one that'll speak up. Rest of y'all scared. Amen. Some husbands want to be in control of their wives. Amen. Some folk want to be in control of the church. Amen. Some people want to be in control of their boyfriends, girlfriends. Amen. Everybody wants to be in control. Y'all know people on the job that want to control the job. It's not even the boss. So people that want to be in control, but the question that I have for you today, amen, do you have self-control? And if you don't have self-control, that means you are out of control. Amen. Anybody ever told you, man, you just off the chain? Man, something wrong with you. Galatians, amen. My brothers and sisters, the book of Galatians was written by none other than the Apostle Paul. We know that Paul was the one who had persecuted the church. Amen. And because he's become such a A-plus Christian, he's now being persecuted by the church. Amen. Paul had several writings that were sent out to the regional churches, and the church at Galatia was one of them, and he is addressing the Galatian Christians. And what we have to understand is these Christians had fallen back into Judaism. They had begun to start to follow the law. Amen. They didn't want to truly accept what Jesus Christ had done at Calvary's cross. Amen. And we still have people today that don't want to accept what Jesus has already done. Are y'all going to pray with me? I know this is preliminary stuff. We're just getting into it. Amen. The New Living Translation of the Bible says, Galatians chapter 5, it says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Now, what we have to understand about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit comes into our lives after we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Are y'all going to pray with me? So that means that after Jesus comes into our life, there should be a change that happens in our life. Are y'all going to pray with me? There should be a change. And the New Living Translation says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of faith fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So what is Paul trying to say? He's saying that you're not going to get in trouble if you're exercising these things. You're not going to get in trouble if you're doing what you're supposed to do. Or what you're supposed to do. Amen? No, there's no law, Johnny. I can't get in trouble for loving you, brother. I can't get in trouble, amen, for turning the other cheek. Some of y'all struggling with that. I'm still struggling with that one, too. Amen, because slap me, I'm... We might catch me on a bad day. But the Holy Spirit produces this in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. But the problem is, my brothers and sisters, most of us are walking around with too many bags. Brother, if you don't mind, turn the ceiling fans off. I won't be able to talk in a minute. Most of us, Johnny, are walking around with too much stuff on us. The Bible says that we should lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Amen. And most of us are walking around with not much love, with not much joy, without much peace, without much patience, without much kindness, without much goodness, without no faithfulness. And no gentleness. And then with no self-control. We wonder why people won't come to church with us. It's because we got too much stuff. We got too many bags. We got anger, hatred, madness. That's a good one, Johnny. Madness. So y'all know Erykah Badu said it better than anybody. She said, bag lady, you're going to hurt your back doing what? But y'all, now, and if I start to say, guide me, oh, that great Jehovah, y'all ain't gonna know what I'm talking about. But my brothers and sisters, what happened is when we don't unload those bags, when we don't get rid of that excess baggage in our lives, it creates problems and issues in our lives. Are y'all gonna pray with me? And what happens is because you're so weighted down with all of these heavy burdens, with all of this anger, with all of this hatred, with all of this even embarrassment. Y'all know that's something that we have to get over. Anybody ever been embarrassed? Really bad? Amen. But you won't let it go. And everywhere you go, you think people talking about you. When you see people talking, they talking about me. They talking. We got to learn, my brothers and sisters, amen, how to get rid of this stuff, because what happens is when we have to carry these things around in our lives, we get frustrated. And when we get frustrated, guess what? What we say, I don't care. I don't care. And that's the worst thing in the world. I'm a probation officer, and I won't put you in jail for smoking weed. I won't put you in jail for getting in trouble. I won't put you in jail for missing curfew. But if you tell me you don't care, I will find a way to put you in jail. Because if you don't care, that means you'll hurt some folks. Y'all trying. You can't get over the fact I said I ain't gonna lock you up if you smoke weed. Please, y'all come on now. Y'all sitting there like, oh, I can't believe Pastor said that. Oh my goodness, with your self-righteous self. Okay, let me leave that alone. Y'all about to mess me up. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. You can tell what kind of tree it is by the fruit that it bears. Amen? So if we are truly children of God, then our lives should have some of these things in it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then there's no law against you. You're not going to get in trouble. Anybody ever got a whooping for doing the right thing? I got a lot of whoopings. Stand up, daddy. This is my daddy right here. Got a lot of whoopings, man. A lot of them. Sit down, daddy. I've never been able to tell him what to do. Y'all see that? I told him to stand up. Told him to sit down. But I never got a whooping for doing the right thing. Are y'all going to pray with me? Matter of fact, stand up, Daryl. This is my little brother. Sit down, Daryl. Man, and guess what? I took half of his whoopings growing up. You know why? You know why I took my little brother's whoopings? Because I love my brother. Y'all going to pray with me? You know why Jesus took your whooping? Ah! Oh, y'all. Y'all still thinking about what I said about that weed, but Jesus took your whooping because he loved you. Because he loved you so much that he took that punishment that was meant for you. But my question is, think about this. If the Holy Spirit, amen, has put all of these good things in us, why do we still struggle with self-control? Think about it. If you think about what the Lord has done for you, don't you think we ought to be able to act a little better? You don't need no 12-step program. You need the Holy Spirit. Amen? We trying to stop all this stuff. Well, I'm going to counseling. Oh, they gave me some new medicine. That ain't even in the sermon. Okay, I want to talk about self-control. Definition of self-control, literally, it means to grab, to hold, strength, and mastery. That means of something. It becomes the ability to restrain passions and appetites. Ooh, that's good, ain't it? Self-control means to have the ability to restrain passions and appetites. It particularly involves paying a price. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, New Living Translation, they said, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Are y'all with me? So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He said, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might be disqualified. Okay, this is what Paul was saying. Paul said, I train myself like an athlete. Amen. I lift weights. I work out. I run in the word. Are y'all with me? I'm in the word. I practice love. I practice long suffering. I practice gentleness. I practice these things so that when I get into some real heated battles, amen, I can use those tools that I've learned. Are y'all with me? And he says, I'm not just shadow boxing. Y'all know what we're doing right now in church? We're shadow boxing. How many of y'all, before you go to the club, you look in the mirror? get your selfie, and then you get in the mirror. And you practice your dance. I'm the only one who used to practice my dance. I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all stay with me. He said, like right now, we're practicing because this is a controlled environment. Everybody here was, we lift our hands in the same shoe. Everybody doing the same thing. Everybody going to smile and greet you and say hello. But when you get out there, when you leave out of these doors, some folks going to roll their eyes at you. So we're shadow boxing in here. We're practicing getting ready. Fellas, y'all been practicing getting ready for the season to start. Are y'all going to pray with me? You guys been getting ready for the battlefield. Amen. But here's the thing. You got to practice it the right way, because otherwise, once you get out into the field, he said, I practice like an athlete, so I'm not disqualified. So what he's saying is when you translate that word in its original tense, what Paul says, I practice the way I practice. I praise the way I praise. I study the way I study, so that when I meet Satan face to face, I don't get a black eye. That word is translated to a black eye, so I'm not disqualified. Disqualified is translated to a black eye. When we don't practice self-control, guess what? We walk around trying to tell people about how good God is with a black eye. And who's going to listen to you if you got a black eye? You trying to tell them how to fight and both your eyes swole up. Your nose broke. You limping. And most of us as Christians are limping. Deacon Minor had a wreck. Came in this morning, he was limping a little bit. Deacon, what's wrong, man? I had a wreck, man. I said, well, I don't want to go to driving school under you, brother. It wasn't his fault. Are y'all with me? Does that make sense? Okay, let me hurry to my close. All right. Seven steps, self-control. Write this down. Those of you who take notes, write this down. We're going to go through it real quick. Number one, the first thing you have to do, my brothers and sisters, to practice and to have self-control is to admit your problem. Some of us walk around here like we got it going on. And you know you tore up from the floor up and beat up from the feet up. You got to admit your problem. Are y'all going to pray with me? Our instinct is to excuse ourselves and shift the blame on the other folk. Uh-huh. Okay. Can I say it? Y'all know I'm crazy. Stand up, Candy. That's my wife. Stand up. She said, oh, God. Okay, just so y'all don't think I'm prejudiced or racist or nothing like that. Sit down. Thank you, baby. We get in trouble. We do stuff we don't have no business doing. Get in trouble with the law. Black people, what we do? First thing we do, they racist, they prejudiced, they picking on me. No. Admit your problem. Dude, you had robbed a store and shot somebody. Sometimes I just don't understand the thinking. Somebody said the other day, we're gonna have to get Al Sharpton down here in Paris. What for? All these Christians in Paris, and we can't fix the problems we got ourselves. We want to shift the blame. They ain't doing this. What are you doing? Why don't we stop shooting each other? Why don't we stop selling drugs? Why don't we stop doing drugs? Why don't we stop running around doing the things that we do? I took the speakers out of my car because they kept pulling me over, saying my music was too loud, Johnny. Admit your problem. That's a key concept to all of us. Our personal responsibility, my brothers and sisters, and self-control. Admit that you got a problem. This is one thing that kills me. Women. Ain't no good men. I done seen you on Facebook with seven different dudes in the last year. And out of those seven guys, nobody was good. You had seven booze in the last 12 months. But
they all dogs. Maybe something wrong with you. You went through seven and couldn't find one. You the common denominator in all those relationships. Quit blaming other folk. Ain't no good men. Well, guess what? You might not be a good woman. All men are dogs. Well, you might be a cat. Cats run around too. Sneaky. Oh, Sister Dora, you better laugh. He said, Pastor, I don't like that, Pastor. You tripping today. Admit your problem. And then after you admit your problem, you got to have an attitude of faith. Woo! Oh, this is good stuff, boy. I don't think I'm going to be able to finish it today, though. To be continued. That way all of y'all will come back next Sunday. We already have the power to transform our lives. See, and that's what we don't realize, that we have the power to transform our own lives. Amen. We act like we don't have the power. Once you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, don't you know you were indwelt with the Holy Spirit? So you walk around with Jesus in you. Oh. That's why I know, you can find somebody good. Why? If you listen to the Spirit. You know the Spirit told you when you met him in the club and he wouldn't even buy you a drink. Spirit told you don't fool with that dude. You did in the girl, but he had on some Jordans. He had a cute smile. What else he got going on? Why don't you ask a brother about, have any of you young ladies ever asked a brother, yeah, there you go. What church you go to? Even if you're in the club, because y'all know the church folks do go to the club. Until something real bad happened at the club, and then you say, I ain't going back no more. You ever ask him, brother, are you saved? You getting ready to get married, and you find out he a Muslim. It's not going to work. He don't even really know what a Muslim is. It just sounds cool. Y'all, we do that kind of crazy stuff. I love him. You don't know him. I love her. Really? You better do a review before you call him your boo. Amen. Watch this. Back to the word. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good. Uh-oh. And acceptable and perfect will of God. New Living Translation says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for your life, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We have a protection from defeat already provided. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, it says that the temperatures in your life are no difficult. The temptations in your life, I'm sorry, are no different than what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. What are you saying? Well, I can't control myself. Yes, you can. Because the word says that he's going to show you a way out. He's going to show you a way out, Deacon Smith. One night, I was in college, me and Glenn and Short Dog and Grip went over to, we was at the club, right? Well, they was, met these girls, and they was like, man, we're gonna go chill at this girl's house. So, okay, well, I ain't going. I'm going home. So y'all do what y'all want to do. Let me show y'all, God will always show you a way out. It was just something, it just didn't, man, it's going to be some girls over there. I was like, so? Deacon, I know, I'm sorry. I just got to give it the way the Lord give it to me. I'm sorry. Got to keep it real for some of these folks, because folks been playing around. We got to get real life experiences, amen? So Glenn, Short Dog, and Grip, they went over to the girl's house. I went back to the dorm. Man, it was about 15 minutes later. I get back to the, they come rolling in. I said, man, what's wrong? Man, we went over to that girl's house. Man, and a dude walked out on the porch as soon as we got there, and they just started fighting. Then he pulled a gun out and started shooting at the car. Let me tell y'all something. The Lord told me, and in the midst of my mess, I was at the club. The Lord said, don't go. He's going to give us a way out. Think about this. Every mistake we've ever made, every bad choice we've ever made, we've had a way out. The question is, are you going to choose to do the right thing? Are you going to follow what the Spirit's telling you to do? Are you going to do what you want to do? Because let me tell you something about the human nature. Y'all understand that the human nature, that we as people want to do the wrong thing. We crave for that stuff. That's why every time something bad, y'all know why everybody record fights? Because they like to see it. Got people on probation for that too. Y'all be careful recording fights. Really? Avoid danger spots. Boy, God, it gets quiet when I talk about the club. I'm sorry. Avoid danger spots. Don't keep falling to the same ditch. You got to analyze people, places, and things. That's point number. Let's see. For my brothers and sisters, but what we have to do is avoid danger spots. Don't keep falling to the same ditch. Amen? And then another thing that we have to do is we have to address the past. A focus on past failures almost assures a repeat performance. We can't change the past. We should stop trying to do it. We can't change what went on back in the day. I talk about what went on back in the day, but I can't change what happened back in the day. Amen? But all I can do is move forward. Are y'all going to pray with me? And then we have to argue with feelings. Learn to say no to yourself. Some of us can't say no to ourselves. I'm talking about self-control. You can't say no to yourself. Titus 2 and 11 says, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. While we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave us life to free us from every sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed in doing good deeds. So much failure of self-control is simply a failure to resist urges. Are y'all with me? Now, we have to have an accountability to change. What are you talking about, Pastor? Never underestimate the power of partnership. Ecclesiastes 4 and 12 said, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. This separates whiners from winners. Come here, Brother Darren. Watch it. Come here. The whole thing. Boy, you're turning red. They said that devil's red with a pitchfork. Look, he's turning red. Well, what is your point, Pastor McGuire? My point is, my brothers and sisters, we have to get together. Amen. We have to have accountability partner. Christians need to stick together. Teammates need to stick together. Husbands and wives and children need to stick together. Because what happens when you get off out there by yourself? Look what the enemy will do to you. Oh, that's a money pencil. Jesus, don't do it. When you get off out there by yourself on your own agenda, you will be destroyed. But my little mama used to sing a song. She said, when all God's children get together, what a time. What a time. Thank you, brother. Let's give Brother Darrell a hand clap. Avoid those danger spots. I said that already. Amen. And then appeal to God for help. Maintain constant communication. Amen. In order for us, my brothers and sisters, we're coming to a close. Come on, Tony. It's time to. Where is he at? There he is. Wait a minute, Tony. What? You sitting by Sister Roberta?
All right, man. Don't start none, won't be none.
Maintain constant communication with God. Appeal to God for help. Hebrews 2 and 18 says, since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Hebrews 15:4-15 says, the high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do. Yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly, to the throne of grace of God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? Maintain a powerful preoccupation with God. Matthew 22:37 said, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. My brothers and sisters, in order for us to practice and have self-control, we have to admit our problems. We have to have an attitude of faith. We have to address the past. We have to argue with feelings. We have to have an accountability to change. And we have to avoid danger spots and also appeal to God for help. Are y'all going to pray with me? We have to have that self-control. And I want you to know this morning, my brothers and sisters, that the Lord cares about you and what you're going through. Amen. And he wants you to be able to control your own self, and he wants you to totally rely on him. Is there anybody in here this morning that has ever totally relied on God? Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? Amen. I'm going to tell you a story before I get out of the way this morning. I'm 3 minutes over. Y'all give me three more and we're done. There was an old preacher, had a church out in the country. The church began to have some problems. One of the old deacons was upset and he wanted the pastor to resign. Pastor said, the Lord didn't tell me to resign. Sunday after Sunday, the deacon would threaten him and say things to him that would hurt his feelings, but he still preached on. The preacher practiced self-control because there were some Sunday mornings where it was just almost enough, almost more than he could bear. But he began to rely on God. He began to pray to the Lord about the situation. And the more he ignored that old deacon, the more upset the deacon got. So that old deacon decided, he said, you know what, since I can't get anybody to take my side on this, since the preacher won't fight me, then what I'm going to do is, since I can't fire him, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hire me a hitman to take him out. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? Old deacon called up a hitman and said, listen, the preacher's always down there at the church late on Wednesday nights when Bible study's over. Amen. He'll always, amen, come out of the church and he'll walk down this little dirt road going toward his home. And said, what I want you to do is I want you to set up in the bushes, and when he's walking through, I want you to take him out. Can y'all believe things like this go on in the church? Hallelujah. That Wednesday night, as the deacon was getting ready to close, or as the preacher was getting ready to close our church, amen, everybody had left, and he begins to get his things together. He walks out on the porch and he turns around and he locks the door. Picks up his Bible. Looks up toward heaven. He said, Lord, are you there? The Lord said, yeah, preacher, I'm here. He said, goodness, are you here? Goodness said, yeah, preacher, I'm right here. Preacher said, love, are you here? And love said, yeah, preacher, I'm right here. He said, grace, are you here? And grace said, yeah, preacher, I'm right here. Are y'all going to pray with me? Omar, I need you to come help me out. Come on. Come on, help me out. Jason, come help me out. Come on, come on. Osa, come help me out. B. Hollins, come help me out.
Lord, are you here? Yeah, I'm right there. Grace, are you here? I'm right here. Stand right there. Need one right here. Need one on the other side. Need one behind me. Turn around that way. Get in front of me. That's all right. Get in front of me. There you go. Oh, so I need you to be the hit man. You're going to be the hit man. He got the gun. Love, are you with me? Grace, are you with me? Lord, are you with me? Mercy, are you with me? Old man began to walk down the road. Bible says, "And goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." So let's move, fellas. Let's move. Meanwhile, let's go the other way, fellas. Let's move back this way. Watch this. The hitman knocked on the preacher's door the next morning. He said, "Preacher, I got something to tell you." He said, "That deacon down there at your church hired me to kill you last night. And I had every intention on taking you out." He said, "But he told me you were going to be by yourself." He said, "Preacher, you were walking down the street and I was on the left side. And when I tried to shoot you from the left side, there was a man on your left side. Well, I went around to the right side and I got to the right side, and there was a man on the right side. Then I went around and got in front of you, and there was a man standing in front of you. And then, you know, I had to see if I could get you from behind, but there was a man standing behind you." Are y'all gonna pray with me? He said, "What did he look like?" He said, "Well, they all looked the same. They had hair like sheep wool. Hallelujah. They had eyes that looked like fire. The skin looked like polished brass." And that old preacher said, "You know what? It sounds just like my Jesus." Are y'all going to pray with me? See, the preacher didn't try to handle it on his own. He practiced self-control. And when you practice self-control, God will take care of your enemies. And then the hitman, he took it a step further. He said, "Look, I don't know, amen, I don't know much about church, but I do know that I want the same protection that you have." And then the preacher took that hitman by the hand and led him to Christ. Are y'all going to pray with me? My brothers and sisters, it's time out for us to stop trying to handle our own affairs and let God handle our affairs for us. Thank you, fellas. God bless you. Let's give these guys a hand. Oh, I got protection. And there's anybody here today that's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you need some protection in your life? Do you have soul insurance? You know, we all have car insurance. You got to have it. It's the law. And you know what? Ask your neighbor, "Are you saved? Do you have protection?" Because in the event, amen, it is a total loss. In the event that there's a total loss, you will have a home in heaven. D told me this morning, said, I talked to D. D said, "Man, they totaled my car. But you know what? They're going to send him a check. They're going to pay for it in full to replace his vehicle." And let me tell you something. If we lose our lives and we are children of God and we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, guess what? We're going to be all right. Amen? Amen. So if there's one here today that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you just need